rejoice and be glad in it. Happy Father's Day. We are delighted that you're here. Before our worship begins, we did mention last Sunday during our regular business meeting that we have one agenda item that the Baptist men today were going to be electing their chairperson, and that person had to be added to the nominating committee. So I call us in to that special call business meeting. We recognize Brother Tom Lund, who is a representative of the nominating committee.
Yeah, as a spokesman for the nominating committee this year, I'd like to bring forth that Randy Keck be approved as a member of the nominating committee for the upcoming year.
And that is to let you know he was elected as our Baptist Men's Director, and so now he's at his area. Any other ideas on that? All those in favor, would you indicate that by saying aye?
Aye.
Opposed by like sign? It is so ordered. Thank you. And let me, while I have your attention, let me invite you to look at the announcements in the bulletin. I was talking to someone just a moment ago, and I think I know what Ariel in The Little Mermaid feels like. I don't look like Ariel, but this is something you can tell that Bible school is beginning in the morning. And for the teachers, the church will be open today, and you're allowed to go. I know some have already kind of put their Vacation Bible School mark on the door, but you're invited to do that and decorate your room. Ask all the VBS staff to wear your blue navy shirts tomorrow morning as we kick off Bible school. And there's some stuff over there that if you need to help decorate your rooms, it's over in the fellowship hall. You're welcome to go get those and use that. And some of the men, immediately following our morning worship today, we need to move the pulpit furniture off. If some of you could help us do that, we would certainly appreciate that help. And if you know anybody that needs a ride to Bible school or can come, neighbors, we're hoping to have a wonderful crowd as we look at the deep sea discovery. You'll see the announcement in your bulletin of what we're doing. Also, this Saturday, you'll see in our that we're going to have a dedication of both our VBS workers and our mission team, our Kentucky mission trip. Most everybody is going to be leaving this coming Saturday. A couple of us, and that's me and Roger Worrell, will be leaving Sunday after church. But the rest of the team is going to be going up this coming Saturday. We will be collecting, and I believe the way we're going to do it is just down at the shelter. The trailer is back there. You can drive all the way back, and if you've got clothes, then from 3 to 5 today or 6 to 6:45 this Wednesday, we'll be collecting canned goods. If you want to send those for the Lord's Cafe or if you'd like to send clothes, those kind of items that can be used there as well, we would gladly appreciate and receive those as well. There are other announcements that are in your bulletin. I hope that you will see them and be involved where you need to be, where the Lord would lead you. Today being Father's Day, there will be no evening activities. None of our regular things will be meeting today. But Bible school begins in the morning at 8:30. Are there any other announcements we need to have today or need to come before us? Seeing none, worship. Today, the ladies fixed breakfast for the men, and we enjoyed that, and we shared how important it is, the gift of Father, the gift of the name, the gift of priorities, the gift of how we were raised. We celebrate all of that on this day. We are grateful for the gift of fathers. We're grateful for, if you're in my situation where your father has gone to be with the Lord, if you're here today and your father is still here and I see folks that are visiting with them, then this day is special for us to remember. And as we gather as God's people, one of the names we worship by, in fact, Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Would you take a moment now to prepare yourself to encounter the living God as you worship him in spirit and in truth as our instrument plays. If you're here today and you're going on the mission trip, would you please stand? I know that you'll be praying for them, especially for travel, as they will be traveling this coming Saturday to Whitley City, that God will be preparing for us to be effective as Flat Springs goes in the persons who are now standing. Would you please remain standing? And if you are going to be working in Vacation Bible School this week, would you please stand at this time? This week, God will bring to this building and to that building children, many of them. Many of them from the daycare center here. I remember my encounters at Vacation Bible School where often many, many would make their decision to follow Christ as their Lord and Savior. And right now there may well be a child that has no idea that this week is going to change their eternity. I hope that we will pray for the school all this week as we gather, that God will bless and use the efforts of our prayers, of the lessons, and of these who stand with one another, with us as Flat Springs, as we share. As we begin worship today, I would like to offer a prayer of dedication for both these teams. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have gathered here to worship, and now two teams stand before you. Those that will be giving of their time and energy in your name to change lives. Heavenly Father, we pray for your Spirit to fall upon all of us. And we pray for these teams, O God, that you might use them in such a special way. Give us words to say. Give us a smile to smile. Give us a hand or a hug whatever, Lord, you could use to change a heart and to change a life. And we give it all to your glory. And now strengthen us as we worship you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may remain standing as we have a hymn coming now.
And everybody else stand with them, please. 542, hymn number 542. In loving kindness, Jesus came.
Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the blessing of you, our Heavenly Father, for the blessing of our earthly fathers. Dear Lord, be with us this week as we share the gospel of true love, true peace, and true joy that only comes through you. We ask that you accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. Wait for these guys. Hey, y'all. Come on over. Okay. And today. Good. Yeah. What day is today?
Sunday.
Father's Day. Yeah, that's all right. Good. So, who can tell me what this is? A mirror? Yeah. So when you look in it, what do you see? You see your reflection. You see yourself. This is what you look like, right? Have you ever been told, maybe like someone's been like, wow, you look just like your dad or just like your mom or something like that? Has anyone ever heard that? Yeah, maybe. Maybe some of us. Well, do you know why that is? It's because we have a piece of our mom and dad in us, right? So we're, you know, we're like them. And so sometimes we tend to look like them. Maybe not all the time, but sometimes we do. Did you know that we are also called, who else do we call our father? God. Yeah, that's right. So the Bible talks about that. God is our father. We are his children. So I'm going to read a little bit about that. It's in Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And it says, and because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you're his child, God has made you his heir. So right there it says, we are God's children, and he is our father. Has anyone ever heard the word Abba before?
Yeah.
Do you know what that means? No? That means it's another word for father, or it's also can be translated to daddy. And that's what Jesus is calling God, and that's what we can call God too, because he's our father, right? And so since we can call him that and we're his children, that means that we have a piece of God in us too, right? Just like we have our own mom and dad in us. And because of that, we can look in the mirror, and we're made in God's image so we can see him. But we can also have our lives be a reflection of God's life too. So just like the mirror reflects what we look like, our lives can reflect what Jesus and God's life looked like because we can follow his teaching and follow his leading and how he has leaded us as a father, right? And he will never stop being our father either. We'll have him forever and ever, and that's a really awesome thing. And so if we live our lives following where he leads us by his example, we can become more like him. And our lives will look more like his. It will be a reflection of it, just like the mirror is a reflection of us. So let's try to have our lives be a mirror of God. You think we can do that? I think so too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for being our leader, for being our father, and for being our friend. Help our lives to look more like yours. Jesus. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Technology has changed one wonderful illustration that I used to be able to use because the old saying was that there were more long-distance phone calls on Mother's Day than any other day of the year, but there were more collect calls on Father's Day than any other day of the year. And some folks say, a collect call? What is that? They don't know about those kind of phones. But Father's Day. If you're here today and you're a father, I'd invite you to stand. In a very real way, you stand before God today. It's a tremendous responsibility. I'm glad that you found your way here. I know the challenges. I know that this day is a day for many who will be a celebration and for some a day of mourning, depending on where life has taken us. But the role of the Father, it is the most important job you or I can ever have. I'd like to pray for God to lead us. I'd like to pray with you dads and ask God to lead you, that we might do the most important work that I believe can change this nation, the family, because I don't think anything else can. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, on this day when we remember and give thanks, we are mindful. The Lord, as I count one of my greatest blessings, my dad, but some people didn't have a good dad. So this day may not be the same for them. And so, Lord, for them, I would remind them that you are a good dad. You are our Abba, our Father, our Daddy. And you love us with a perfect love. And, Lord, for those that now stand here, Lord, we know we have made mistakes. We're not perfect, my goodness. But Lord, we know that when we leave this place, whether our children are in our lap or in another zip code, we still have the responsibility of a father. And Lord, it is an important duty and a wonderful privilege. Would you go with us and strengthen us? Forgive us wherein we have failed. Challenge us that we might be more like you, that we might put our priorities in a place that would reflect you in all we do. God, thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, we got another hymn. I should have kept
Or just continue standing, but now that you've all sat, let's all stand and sing. 546, Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me the same cry. Help.
Today, as you look at your prayer concerns, you'll notice there are several names there. I know we want to continue to remember Terry Center. That's Lauren Rigsby's mom, who did suffer a stroke this week, still is at Chapel Hill in the hospital. We want to keep her lifted up. We also want to remember the Bible school and the mission trip. And you'll also notice that Chewy, Bonnie, and Sophie have headed out to the Czech Republic. I think they're headed out in the morning for several weeks on a mission trip. We want to be remembering them. You see the other names, the bold names, or folks, whether they're on the special ongoing concerns or whether they're to the left of folks that have had more specific challenges in recent days, and we want to keep them lifted up as well. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, a list of names might be significant, could be important, might be an opportunity, or it might just be a list of names. God, we call it our prayer list, and you call us to pray without ceasing, to pray for one another, to pray for intercession, to pray for healing. And so, God, today we come and we pray. My voice, but all of our hearts united in one prayer, a corporate prayer, a prayer for deliverance, a prayer for comfort, a prayer for peace, a prayer for healing. Lord, we have suffered much as a nation this past week with the tragedy in Orlando. It seems like every time we turn on the news, Lord, there's a shooting here, or someone killed here, or a child abducted here, or a rape here, or someone stealing here. And Lord, that is the world in which we find ourselves trying to be salt and light. And Lord, it's hard. It's hard. It is so hard. We need to hold on to each other and encourage each other. We need to challenge each other. We need to pray. We need to pray for each other. For it is difficult in the world in which we live to tell the world that we're a believer, a disciple, a Christian. Strengthen us today by our presence here with you on this Father's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Disappointment, strength, and despair.
Thank you, choir. Standing on the solid rock. I invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. We're going to read a very difficult passage of Scripture today. But it's a story you probably know. And I can't help but connect myself to what I consider there to be a disconnect in the church. You're about to read a story. We're about to read a story that is difficult at best. But yet there's some powerful truths. And as Paul Harvey would say, we know the rest of the story. We know this story is going to end well. But what I would like for you to do for a moment as we read the text is to try to connect with Abraham before he knows how it's going to end. And the disconnect, I can't help but imagine, is that this is the story of Abraham called on to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. You remember the story of Abraham. He doesn't have Isaac until he's in his 90s, although God has promised him that his descendants will be like the sands of the sea. I want you to connect, and where I'm afraid there is a disconnect in our culture and in the way we do church. I'm thinking, had the Lord spoken to Abraham now, he would probably say, well, Lord, I'd like to do that, but I'm going to be out of town that weekend. I've got other things to do that weekend, Lord. I just can't handle it. And when you read this story, it's going to make you uncomfortable because such devotion, such obedience, such faith. My prayer as I prepared this message is, God, give me more faith. Our text is Genesis chapter 22. We'll read the first 14 verses. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's holy word. After these things, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey and he took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering. And he arose and he went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. My. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And so they went both of them together. And when they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order. And then this is the hardest words. And he bound Isaac, his son. And he laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. I'm so glad for verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, for just a moment on this Father's Day, would you remind us that a disciple's home, it must be a place of leading as you lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today, as we celebrate Father's Day, I want us to turn our attention as church family to our Heavenly Father. I want us to learn some truths by what Abraham experienced. Some have said that this was God's way, because in Deuteronomy chapter 12, there's a strong statement that human sacrifice is not God's plan. And yet, we know one of the very kings of Israel made that dastardly saying that when he came back from a victory in battle, that the first thing he saw he would offer as a burnt offering that came out of his house. First thing he saw was his daughter. Oh, that's a whole other sermon for a whole different set of lessons. But today in this story, Abraham teaches us some important truths, some life-changing truths. I said earlier, and I believe more and more every day, that the hope for our country and for our world, it's first of all the Lord. It's first of all the Lord. And the way God's going to do that is through the family. I think strong families, in a time when the family is no longer strong, and all the social indicators teach us that, what will we do? We lead our homes by listening to God. Abraham, here am I, Lord. Abraham, here am I, Lord. Abraham, here am I, Lord. When's the last time this week we said to God, "Lord, here am I. Here I am. What do we need to do? What do I need to do in my home? What do I need to do in my walk with you?" Want us to understand that who we listen to matters. Abraham listened to God, and listening to God makes a difference. And I would suggest not listening to God makes a difference. Not listening to God makes a difference. I love the story that I heard by Eric Schneider, who said that one time he was in a, I hope this is a made up story, but I'm going to tell you as he tells it. He said he was getting ready to do a wedding, and the groom pulled him aside, and he said, "Look, I'll give you $100 if you'll change the wedding vows. When you get to that part where it says, I promise to love, honor, and obey, I would appreciate if you just skip that part." And he handed him a $100 bill, and he walked away. Well, the day of the wedding arrived, and they were exchanging the vows, and Eric said, when he got to that part, he said to the groom, "Will you promise to bow down before her, obey her every command and every wish, serve her breakfast in bed every morning of your life, and swear by the eternal God that for you and your lovely wife, you'll never, ever even look at another woman as long as you both shall live?" And the groom kind of gulped. He looked around, and in a tiny voice he said, "I do." And then he leaned in, and he said, "What happened? I thought we had a deal." And Eric said, "I gave him his $100 bill back, and I said, your bride made a better offer." Who you listen to matters. Who are we listening to today? What molds and shapes our life? Who's buying our ear? Who's buying our ear? You see, when you listen to God, sometimes God tells us to do hard things. Let me rephrase that. Oftentimes, God tells us to do hard things. Let me rephrase that. Most of the time, God tells us to do hard things. Wouldn't it be great if all of our decisions were just easy? Wouldn't it be great if your toughest decision all this coming week was whether I should wear my blue shirt or blue dress or my green one? Should I go to church in the truck or in the car? The greatest decision that you'll struggle with is, where will we eat after church today? That one can sometimes be tough, can't it? Maybe the toughest decision would be, should I carry my study Bible or my compact Bible? Should I sing parts or just melody on the hymns? Should I study my Sunday school lesson in the morning or in the evening? But those aren't the tough decisions that we're often called to make, are they? Often they're about our priorities. Often about whether we're going to do the best thing or a good thing. Whether we're going to put these things in front of these things. Whether we're going to balance this with this. Whether we're going to do this or that. Whether we're going to say this or not say that. Whether we're going to invite this person or not invite this person. Whether we're going to stand true to our faith when it seems obvious nobody in the conversation is a person of faith. Whether we're going to make the moral decisions that our culture no longer seems to think are very important. Sometimes, oftentimes, most of the time, the hard, life-altering spiritual decisions are whether we choose to follow God or not. It's never easy to make a decision when you know it's flying against the culture. I remember 40 years ago reading a story. The story goes that there was a man walking by a river, a raging river. And suddenly he heard a voice crying out from the middle of the river. And as he looked, there was a small child helplessly floundering, about to drown in the river. With no thought of his own safety, the man dove into the river and he swam out and he grabbed the child and he pulled the child to safety. Set the child on the bank. But no sooner had he made his foot hit the ground behind him, he heard another voice screaming in the water. And there was another child floating down the river. And again, he dove into the rapid water and swam and brought the child to safety, only to hear the third child now in the middle of the river. And again, he dove in and he rescued the child, only to hear the fourth child. And again, he dove in and he rescued the child, only to hear the fifth child. And then the sixth. And by now, there was a crowd gathering, watching this heroic event unfold. And then the sixth child. And when he made it back to shore and placed that child on the shore, he heard the seventh child's voice. And he started to walk up the river. And the people gathered around and said, "What about that child? What, there's another child out there. What are you doing? There's another child out there in the river." And he said, "Yes, but I've got to go find out who's throwing him in. I've got to go find out who's throwing the children in the river." Sometimes, church, all we seem to do is try to pull people out of the river. We need to understand that there are folks throwing them in the river. And we've got to get to the root cause. And the root cause of all the evil in the world is not listening to God Almighty, but listening to the voice of whoever else. Abraham listened to God. Not listening to God has its consequences. Second, Abraham leaned on God. This one's not quite as obvious. You know, I've read this story about 10 times this week. I've read several commentaries on it. I've tried to get some clues that maybe Abraham knew. Maybe he knew God won't ever let me offer Isaac. That won't work into his plan. God's not that kind of God. But you know what? I didn't find those commentaries. And now how you read it, maybe you can read it that way. I read it that way. I like reading it that way. I like reading that Abraham knew in his mind, "God's just fooling with me. God's got this worked out. I don't have to worry about it. God doesn't really want me to do this." You ever known when the Holy Spirit of God was really telling you you needed to do something? You needed to make some change in your life? You needed to make some decision about how you're living your life? You knew God was telling you that. But you said, "Oh, God, I don't think you're really doing it. I don't really think you want me to do that. That's weird, God. That's strange. Nobody else is doing that, God. Why would you want me to do that, God?" You can read that story that way. But can I challenge you for just a moment in this historical narrative to read it the other way? To read it as though Abraham knew he'd be coming down that mountain alone. One of the most powerful stories I've ever heard is about an ancient culture that it was traditional for them to lead their older parents away when they got to a certain age because the village couldn't sustain them. And so when you reached a certain birthday in this culture, your oldest son would lead you out into the culture, out into the wilderness. And he would take you to a place and there he would leave you to die. And then he would come home alone. And for years and generations, that had been the culture's practice. And on this occasion, this one young son had felt his lot. His mom had reached that age, and it was time to lead her out to the place of death. And so he packed a provision. It was a day's travel. And so as he began to take the journey, he noticed that she kept tearing her clothes and dropping. She was leaving a trail. At first, he just ignored it. But every few hundred yards, she'd tear a piece of her cloth and leave a trail. She'd tear her cloth and leave a trail. And finally, he was already annoyed at his assignment. He was already disappointed in this responsibility, this duty he had. He didn't like it at all. so finally he looked and he said, Mom, what are you doing? Why are you leaving this trail? You're never coming back. To which she replied, yes, son, but you are. And I didn't want you to get lost on your way back. Wow, can you imagine that kind of emotion? I think Abraham must have been wondering what it was going to be like. That's why he left those two men with the donkey. He didn't want them to witness what was about to happen. And I can't imagine what it must have been like when a 95-year-old man tied the hands of a young boy who could have run from him, who could have outmaneuvered him, who could have pushed him down. Because the story lets us believe Isaac was beginning to figure it out. Lean on God. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And that's more than just a verse. Leaning on God is so important. Leaning on God. Today, we might have an opportunity to make some tremendous difference in someone's life. One of the great stories that Fred Craddock, one of the great preachers of all times, tells, he was vacationing in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And one night they found themselves in a little restaurant and they were looking forward to a private meal. Dr. Craddock was one of those celebrity kind of guys. And when he got around preachers, he was a celebrity. And so getting away sometimes was just a good thing. And then he noticed a white-haired man who was moving from table to table, visiting with everybody. And Craddock said, he looked at his wife and he says, I sure hope he doesn't come over here. But he did. Where y'all folks from? The friendly man asked. Oklahoma, Craddock responded. Splendid state, I hear, although I've never been there, the stranger said. What do you do for a living? I teach homiletics to the graduate students at Phillips University. Oh, so you teach preachers how to preach, do you? Well, I've got a story to tell you. And with that, the gentleman pulled up a chair. And Craddock said his countenance fell when he sat down. The man struck out his hand and he said, I'm Ben Hooper. I was not born far from here across those mountains. My mom, she wasn't married when I was born, and I had a pretty hard time. When I started to school, my classmates had a name for me, and it wasn't a very nice name. I used to go off by myself at recess and lunchtime because of the things they said. It just cut so deep. And what was worse was going to town on Saturday afternoons and feeling like everybody was looking at me. When I was about 12 years old, a new preacher came to our church. I would always go in late and slip out early. But one day, the preacher said the benediction so fast, I got caught and had to walk out with the crowd. I could feel every eye in the church on me. And just about the time I got to the door, I felt a big hand on my shoulder. I looked up and the preacher, he was looking right at me. Who are you, son? Whose boy are you? He asked. I felt the weight coming down on me. I felt a big black cloud. Even the preacher was going to be putting me down. But as he looked down at me, studying my face, he began to smile, a big smile of recognition. Wait a minute, he said. I know who you are. I see the family resemblance now. You're a child of God's. With that, he slapped me across the rump and said, boy, you've got a great inheritance. Go out and claim it. The old man looked across the table at Craddock and he said, those were the most important words anyone had ever said to me in all my life. And I've never forgotten them. With that, he smiled, shook hands with Craddock and his wife, and he moved on to another table. As he walked away, Craddock, a native Tennessean himself, remembered from his studies of Tennessee history that on two occasions the people of Tennessee had elected to the office of governor a man who had been born out of wedlock. One of them was Ben Hooper. You see, when we lean on God, we have a different inheritance. We have a different world. We have a different hope. We can lean on other things, but, and we do, but they won't prop us up. Today, when we lean on God, we can leave this building today. Families who are being led by the Holy Spirit, we can leave this building today leaning on God, and we can go out and claim this week. Maybe there's something in your family that is the biggest obstacle, and today, if you'll lean and listen to God and go and claim your inheritance, you'll deal with it differently. Finally, this morning, you lead by lifting God up. I'm not sure how Abraham climbed the mountain, but I know how he went down. I don't know what emotions he might have had going up. I can imagine. But I'm going to guess that that 90-plus-year-old man floated down that mountain with his son by his side. And before he did, he lifted God up. God provided the ram, hung in the thicket. Oh, I love what Eugene Peterson says about worship. He says, worship doesn't satisfy our hunger for God. It whets our appetite. Our need for God is not taken care of by engaging in worship. It deepens. It overflows the hour and permeates the week. We know there's a difference between worship and attendance. For a believer to opt out of worship regularly is one of two things. The service he's opting out for doesn't assist him to worship the living God, or he does not worship when he attends the service. The things of the culture have become his altar. William Temple said, worship is the submission of all of our nature to God. It is the quickening of our conscience by his holiness, the nourishment of our mind by his truth, the purifying of our imagination. And God knows we need to have our imagination purified in our culture today by his beauty, and the opening of the heart to his love, and the surrender of our will to his purpose. And all of this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable, and therefore the chief remedy for the self-centeredness which was the original sin and is the source of all sin. Wiersbe's right. And so now, question. I don't know how you came to worship today. Maybe you came because it's Father's Day. Maybe you came because Sunday, and that's what you do. But this is what I believe. How we lead is the most important part of what worship is about. Today, would we leave with a commitment on our hearts to say, God, this week I'll listen to you. God, I'll trust you with all my heart, and I'll lean not on my own understanding. I'll lean not on the culture's understanding. I won't let the television tell me what to think. I won't let the newspaper influence my faith. I will allow your Holy Spirit, through your holy word, to shape my heart and to shape my mind. And Lord, I will leave lifting you up, your name above all. I don't know how we came, but now each of us must decide, how will we leave? How will we leave today? A disciple's home, a disciple of our Lord and Savior's home, is a place of leading by listening and leading and lifting up the name of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, now we must make decisions. What kind of home we're going to have. Because as soon as those doors open and we step one foot outside, the world will begin to scream. This is important. This is important. This is more important. This is what you ought to do. This is how you ought to live. This is what you ought to say. This is where you ought to go. This is how you ought to do your family. This is what's important. Oh God, they're going to pound on us. They're going to pound on us. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit in this place today, in this story of Abraham showing us ultimate devotion, ultimate commitment, ultimate listening and leaning and lifting you up. Oh God. May we say, as Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. May we say, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. May we do as Jesus taught us, to love you with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength and all our will. And all our time and all our resources, may we love you completely. And may the disconnect between us when we walk out of this place into the world that pounds on us be defeated. And then our homes will be different. And then our church will be different. And then our community will be different. Oh God, he who has an ear, let us hear what your Spirit says. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is Rescue the Perishing, page 559. Today, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him, may I remind you of your family resemblance. And may we leave this place and go out and claim it as we stand together. You'll be remembering our vacation Bible school that begins in the morning, and some men to help us move this, and someone who knows there's a wire under this pulpit, so don't grab it and snatch it, that we need to disconnect first. But And also be remembering our mission team, as they'll be traveling this Saturday, again from 3 to 5. If you've got some items you'd like to bring for us to take to Kentucky, there'll be someone out there. I think Randy will be out there receiving that, and you can put it right in the tray. Again, I wish to you happy Father's Day. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, and in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray? Daddy, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for your love that never gives up on us. Thank you for your strength when we are at our weakest. Thank you for your hope that shines brightest when we are at our darkest. And go with us from this place that we might claim our inheritance, that we might listen and lean and lift you up. In Jesus' name.